What's up, everyone? I'm Kira. Welcome or welcome back to a coming-of-age movie. This week, I'm super excited to be joined by three of my best friends, Sydney, Daniel, and Christian, to talk about some movies that we've seen recently and some of our all-time favorites. Hopefully, you finish this episode with a new movie for your watch list or a new perspective on one you've already seen. Okay, thank you guys so much for coming on. I'm super excited to have some people on here who aren't Julia or someone being interviewed. It's kind of a new thing, so thanks for coming on, being the first ones. You can talk. It's a podcast.
Okay.
Okay, great start.
Thank you for having us on here, Kira.
Okay. Great start. So why don't we start by introducing ourselves, because we don't know you. So
Dan, you can start.
Okay. Name, grade.
Yeah, whatever you want. So
My name's Daniel. I am in 12th grade.
And any future plans that you feel comfortable sharing with the
I'm going to Tufts University to study film and media studies, hopefully. So, yeah.
I'm Sydney. I'm a senior, and I'm going to be studying film and TV at the University of Arizona next fall.
I'm Christian. I'm a junior in high school, and I'm currently still in the middle of the college process, so I've not decided how my future is going to be enacted.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, we all go to school together. That's how we know each other. And we're all in theater together. Right now, we're in a production of a show called The Drowsy Chaperone.
Yeah.
Which is super awesome. I would say come see it, but don't, because don't stalk us.
Yeah. It's kind of embarrassing.
It's a musical within a comedy.
Yeah, that's true.
Facts.
I mean, it's a yeah, for sure, for sure. And so we're all pretty much nerds when it comes to like film and all that. So we have a lot to talk about. But before we talk about that, I want to ask Sydney and Daniel, how did so you guys are both going to school for film, so how did you first know that you wanted to get into that, and how are you able to kind of explore that now while you're in high school, because you're not, you know, in college actively doing it?
So I kind of knew I wanted to do something in the entertainment industry from when I was really young, probably around middle school. So my parents signed me up for a summer camp at the New York Film Academy, and I spent 3 summers there, and I absolutely loved it. And then, this year I got the opportunity to assistant direct all the shows that, Kira, Christian, Dan, and I do at our school, and that's been amazing. I've learned so much, and that's been really cool.
Yeah, I knew I wanted to study film because, I've been interested in, like, making videos my whole life, but then, over quarantine, 2 things happened. I watched The Office, and I also did an online camp where I like made a short film in a week, and then it got selected as a finalist in this film festival. So then it let me know that I was like good at it, I guess, and that I could like actually do it as a career path. So yeah,
really cool. And I just want to say we all made a short film. I mean, Daniel directed a short film.
Yeah. We're all a part of it.
Yeah, so maybe we'll attach a link or something, but maybe not.
It was the greatest short film to come out in
one
all of 2021.
I've ever
we made
seen.
It in like one afternoon, and he also wrote the script for the sequel while he was at work today. It's written on order. What is it?
Order know. Like forms.
Like, yeah, it's one. Like it's like the paper that you write for reservations when people come in to eat. I work at a Japanese restaurant.
So that's why nobody got seated today. No, okay, anyway, so Julia and I talk about a lot of movies and TV shows on here all the time. So I thought it'd be really cool to hear some other people's opinions on some of their favorites. So I asked everyone here to pick one of their favorite movies to talk about in any way they want. I really give them a lot of freedom, and I'm kind of scared because I don't know where this is going to go. So let's just kind of start with that. So Sydney, you want to start, right?
Yeah, so I chose to talk about The Florida Project. It's on Netflix if you haven't seen it. I think it came out in like 2017. And basically the gist of the movie, it follows a young girl named Mooney. I think she's about 7. And basically she has a pretty tough life. She lives in Florida with her mom, who's pretty young. She definitely had her as a teen. And her mom really struggles financially. She doesn't make the best choices. She was an exotic dancer, and now her only way to make money is through prostitution. And Mooney, she lives with Mooney at a motel, and Mooney doesn't realize how bad her life is. And I think that's the really cool thing about this movie, is we really follow through Mooney's perspective as she goes along with her friends, and they play at the motel and neighboring motels, and even sometimes on the highway. And it's so scary, the things that Mooney and her friends do. And they're actually, like, a mile away from Disney World, which is kind of crazy because it's, like, supposed to be the happiest place on Earth, and they don't even know that. For them, the happiest place on Earth is their motel, which for most people would be really not a really happy place. But they're kids, and they don't understand that it's not a bad thing. And I think one of the coolest things about the movie is the cinematography. The cinematographer really focuses on the kids' faces, even when the adults are talking. So when the adults are talking about really serious or scary financial issues or things that are going on in the world around them, the camera still focuses on the kids, and it just shows them how, it just shows, like, all the viewers how the kids just really zone out what's going on around them in the world. I also think something that's really cool about this movie is that the color is very, like, oversaturated, because kids see the world as very colorful and magical and cool, so all the colors are super bright, like, you're seeing it through their perspective. And I just think this movie has a really realistic view on poverty, and I think it shows a perspective of the world that not a lot of people are used to, and I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've seen this one too. It's one of my, like, favorite movies. Actually, we're trying to, like, every time we, like, watch a movie together, we're like, oh, Florida Project, like, maybe.
I know.
But Cindy and I have both seen it, so it's not, like, not on our top of our list. But yeah, I really like how you're talking about, like, how close they're to Disney and how it's, like, so ironic, because they're going through all these hard things, and you kind of don't even realize how hard, like, their lives are, because it's so focused on just what they're doing for fun. Like, it's not focused on the fact that they don't have enough money for rent, or, like, their parents are literally doing, like, illegal things right in front of
them.
It's just on them, you know, running around the motel and having a lot of fun. And it's a really good watch. It's, like, it keeps you entertained, but it's kind of a movie where it, like, doesn't have, like, this set plot going on the whole time. It's kind of like a slice of life, but at the same time, it, like, moves along really nicely. And so,
yeah, I think it's a really cool movie, and I definitely recommend it.
Yeah, for sure. So who wants to
talk? I could talk next. So the movie I'm gonna talk about is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and so this is definitely a different turn from a normal movie to a more animated movie, you could say. And so this follows the story of Miles Morales, who, if many of you did not know, is a different incarnation of Spider-Man than Peter Parker, which many of you may be used to. And so Miles lives in a world where the Peter Parker of his universe has been Spider-Man for a couple of years now. He's very famous superhero, as many of you will know, and he's become very successful with his superhero career. And so Miles lives with his parents, goes to a very elite private school in New York, and he's kind of struggling because he doesn't want to be with all these preppy kids in his private school. And so he's a little rebellious towards his parents because he doesn't want to go to this school, since he actually lives in this school during the week, so he doesn't get to see his family a lot. And so he's rebelling through school, and one of the people he aspires to kind of look up to is Spider-Man, which many kids in this universe do look up to because he's a real-life superhero. And so one day, Miles is hanging out with his Uncle Aaron, who is another main character in this movie, kind of like Peter Parker's Aunt May, like a parental figure to him. He's hanging out with his uncle in the sewers, and they're spray painting a wall in this little room that Uncle Aaron found when he was a kid, and a spider comes and bites Miles, similar to how this happens to Peter Parker. And so Miles doesn't think anything of it because it's just a normal spider. He doesn't even think it bit him. And so later that day, they go up from the sewer. Miles is in high school. He's just a normal kid right now. And so he goes after leaving the sewer and leaving high school for the day, he goes to I don't really remember what the building is, but Spider-Man's fighting Kingpin, who's a big villain of his.
I just want to end real quickly and say, don't give any spoilers for the movie.
Yes.
Just, yeah.
Of course. And so, something happens, and then eventually
As most movies.
But something happens with Peter Parker, and Miles has to take up the mantle of Spider-Man, but he doesn't even know that he just got these powers. And so he's not really mature with this at all. And when Spider-Man was fighting Kingpin, something breached in their universe and had to bring in Spider-Man from other different universes. Like, a Spider-Man that permanently lives in the 20s and their entire universe is, like, noir. Then a different Spider-Man that has been Spider-Man for 50 years and he's middle-aged, has gone through midlife crisis. And then another, like, childish Spider-Man that's a pig. There's a lot of different characters that are brought in, and Miles has to work with them to try and stop Kingpin because he's trying to reenact his plan of combining the universes and kind of destroying the world as most comic book villains would. And so throughout this film, you can see Miles' character development and how he has to take up the mantle of Spider-Man and kind of mature very fast and learns all the stories that, you know, Spider-Man, great power, great responsibility, classic. All this, the stereotypical stuff.
Classic.
But in a different view than most movie Spider-Man have had to go through, which is definitely different than, I guess, the film is interpreting. And in short, Miles becomes Spider-Man. He learns all these lessons, and he sends all the Spider-Man back to their home universes. And yeah, that's basically a kind of long synopsis of the movie.
Did you spoil the whole thing?
No.
I'm so sorry, guys. No, but I've heard you talk about the movie a lot, and I've never seen it. But I looked at it on, like, there's this app called Letterboxd that we all use.
Oh,
I think,
yes.
Daniel got us all into it, and it's like a film reviewing thing. It's kind of like you can, like, you know, log what movies you've seen, and we like to, like, look at it and be like, oh, this, like, you know, Sydney just watched this movie, or Daniel gave He's All That 2 stars. What the heck? And, so I looked it up on there, and it has, like, over 4 stars, and I was like, oh, it's like, because that's, like, pretty impressive, because people are, like, people like Sydney give
Sydney's
a very harsh
critic.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of shocked that it had.
Sydney gave Lady Bird 3 stars out of 5.
I am not going to go into this.
And Sydney
right
also
now.
Used to not write reviews because she thought we would make fun of her. And then the first film she reviewed was Lady Bird. And Daniel was like, what? Like, he sent it to our group chat.
I
want to
point out that every time I do anything on the app, it gets screenshotted, sent to our group chat.
Because it happens so rarely. But now you're more into Letterboxd.
Thanks, guys. Really.
But yeah, the reason. The Into the Spider-Verse movie has such a good rating is people have been excited for this movie when it came out years prior, because actually I was looking into the details of this and it took about 800 people 4 years to animate the movie.
Wow.
Because it was hand-drawn like all the old Disney movies were for animation to make it look like a comic book style type of thing, which because of that, the visual effects and everything with the movie is extremely impressive to a lot of people.
Yeah, maybe I'll check it out. I'm not into, like, superhero movies. We saw Black Widow and I fell asleep, but anyway.
It was also 12 o'clock.
Yeah, it was also midnight. It was very last minute.
Harsh Marvel critic.
Me and Christian were really into it, and Dan and Kira were not.
Every 2 seconds, like,
and I had seen it before.
Happening? Who was that character?
Yeah.
But it was also, we were trying to go to mini golf, but then it started raining, so we had to change plans.
Anyway. We got free tickets.
So now, Daniel, I'm really excited to hear your input
Dan's might even be longer than
mine. So I did mine about Dead Poets Society, which is my favorite movie of all time. And so I wrote a good amount of stuff about it that I'd like to share. So it's simultaneously melancholy and uplifting, and it inspires me every time I watch it, and it deals with themes of youth, friendship, and death. And Robin Williams puts on a very good performance. And all the kid actors are really good. One of them is Ethan Hawke, who, like, grew up to be, like, a very famous actor in the Before trilogy and other movies. All right, so the plot, basically, I'll give you some stuff about
it.
I'm not going to spoil it.
I didn't have anything written down, so I was just going
through
memory.
Some stuff happens.
All right. The movie, all right, so it's set at a prestigious boarding school in Vermont called Welton Academy, and it's all male and takes place in the late 50s, and a lot of the boys, they're all, like, very smart, but they have parents who put a ton of pressure on them, and two of the main characters are Neil Perry and Todd Anderson, who is played by Ethan Hawke, and then there's also Knox Overstreet, Richard Cameron, Stephen Meeks, Gerard Pitts, and Charlie Dalton are the other main guys. So Todd is new to the school, but Neil is more like experienced. And but Todd is not the only new person. There's also a new English teacher named Mr. Keating, played by Robin Williams. And unlike the other teachers at the school, Mr. Keating does not stick to the curriculum. He goes way off course. He chooses to teach the kids not only about English, but also about life. And he has lessons where the kids, like, rip pages out of the English textbook. They stand on desks to look at the world in a new way. And then there's one where they're literally just walking outside. And so the kids, they're fascinated by Mr. Keating, as people, I don't know, I would be kind of fascinated if my teacher just told me to, like, walk around. But yeah, so they try to find out more about him, and they are looking in one of the old yearbooks, and they find that he went to the school, and he was in a club called Dead Poets Society.
Title.
Which does not, so,
bum, bum, bum.
So the club does not exist, like, anymore, and the kids are like, what is this? Like, and so they ask him about it, and they find out that you literally, like, the club is, you go across the street from the boarding school into the woods, into this cave, and you just read poetry to each other.
So
they find out, and people are like, what? Like, that's so weird. But then Neil, he's like, guys, we should do this. We should, like, restart the Dead Poets Society. So they all go into the cave, and they start reading poetry to each other, and it becomes, like, a regular thing that they do. And so as their school year goes on, the kids become more passionate about English and poetry, and they take the lessons that Mr. Keating gives them, and they put it into their everyday lives. Like, Knox, one of the kids, finally decides to pursue a girl he's liked for a while, and Neil decides to act in a play, and Todd becomes more confident.
Same. Theater kids scare me.
Yeah. They're disgusting.
Todd becomes more confident and less shy around his classmates. And I'm not going to spoil the ending, but parental pressure and conflicting emotions cause, like, a big tragedy towards the end. And the rest of the movie is basically about how they have to deal with this tragedy. And I picked out two scenes that I really like. So, okay, there's this one scene called, well, it's not called anything, but, like, Mr. Keating is giving advice to the kids, and there's a really good quote that I use for my yearbook quote this year, and it's, so he's, like, talking to them about, like, basically, one of the main things of the movie is carpe diem, which means seize the day, and it's in Latin, and I don't know, some of you might know that, I guess, but,
maybe.
But that's the thing that, like, it's, like, a recurring thing that he says in the movie. And he's, like, telling them about that. And he says, quote, "The powerful play goes on, and you may contribute a verse. What will your verse be?" And then the scene ends. So that's what I use as my yearbook quote. And that scene really sticks out to me because, you know, the movie is just very relatable. And you can, like, get a lot from what he says just there. And then there's this other scene where it's Todd's birthday, and Neil finds out, and the present that Todd got is, like, the same desk that he already has that he doesn't like from his parents. And then Neil decides to have him, like, throw it off the edge of the school in defiance. And I think it's, like, a really profound moment in the movie because Todd is, like, super shy, and Neil kind of, like, puts him out of his comfort zone, and the two, like, work really well together. So, all right, my conclusion is that the movie's very heavy. It's a drama, but it's very empowering, and it makes you think about the choices you make and how you can make your life better. And here's a personal anecdote. Before I watched this movie for the first time, I'd been, like, grappling with the idea of getting a part-time job. And then my mom showed me a Facebook post about a place that was hiring. And I'd been putting it off because I was, like, kind of scared to call them. And I watched this movie and literally, like, right after I watched this, I got on the phone and called the place, and I got myself a part-time job for like a while. So it's just, it's my favorite movie. It's really good. I think that all of you guys should watch it. It's sad, but at least you know some more about it now.
Have you guys seen it?
Yeah. I have not seen it.
I've heard a lot of things about it. I have not seen it.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about it, too.
I've seen it. I remember, like, the first time I watched it, too, I remember I was, like, I think I, like, I just, like, snapped Daniel, like, the picture of it, and he was, like, oh, my God, like, my favorite movie, like, literally, like, whatever. And I kept sending him, like, updates of, like, what I thought. And at the end, I remember it was, like, midnight. I was just, like, I could not sleep. I was, like, that was just a lot to take in. It's a really good movie. Yeah. Like, you know it's a good movie when it, like, affects your real life, like, that much, like, gets you a job. So, yeah, that one, also, I definitely recommend. You should probably watch the Spider-Man one, too. I just, like, can't say anything about it.
The Spider-Man one has, like, a targeted audience.
That'll be our next movie that we all watch together.
Picking movies sometimes is a lot of fun.
It's a good movie to get you into superhero movies.
Okay. Maybe, I don't know. I really don't like action movies. I talk about that a lot on here, actually.
Action.
I just think it's really boring, but...
Kira doesn't like blood. So, like, when blood comes up in movies or people get hurt in movies, Kira...
Kira hides.
Sorry to tell you, Kira, there's no blood in that one, so...
It's also a cartoon, so I think
it's a cartoon.
Have you seen Rick and Morty?
Okay.
Yeah. Have you seen BoJack Horseman?
No, I don't like that.
He likes the show about the horse.
Stop.
We can't like, make insight.
My friends are all BoJack Horseman haters.
No, guys, we can't make inside jokes on the podcast.
No, I love BoJack Horseman. Get our inside jokes.
I am not a hater at all. I
love BoJack Horseman.
Oh, I'm a hater.
I asked them for my birthday if we could just watch BoJack. I mean, like, they surprised me with ice cream. I was like, can we just watch BoJack Horseman? And he's like, oh my god, fine. Anyway.
I started the heel that way.
Anyway, so now we've been watching a lot of movies recently just because, I don't know, it's like winter, there's not much else you can like do, especially with like, what are you doing? Stop.
I want to see the time.
So we've been seeing a lot of movies. One that we've been like talking about for so long is Licorice Pizza.
Oh my gosh.
So when it finally came out, we were really, really excited to go and see it.
It did not disappoint.
It didn't. It was a lot different than I thought it would be, but yeah. I felt like also like when I looked it up to see what it was about, I like couldn't figure it out. It was like, I think it's like two teens run around the San Fernando Valley. Like, that was, like, the plot. And I was like, what?
Which is technically
not true. And then I watched
true.
It, yeah. And that was the plot.
Well, wasn't Alana, she was, like, 23 or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, I think she was 25, and Alana Gary was 15. Gary was,
yeah, so in the first, like, 20 minutes of the movie, I was so, like, grossed out, because I was like, this 23-year-old is dating, how old was Gary? Like,
15.
15, yeah. So I was like, what is going
oh
on?
Oh my god, wait.
I kept...
No, they're not dating.
No, they're not there.
But,
no,
the whole thing's
Gary,
kind of like a
Gary
will
tried
they,
to get her on
will
yeah.
they, won't they? Even though
I
they're
kept
literally,
like so
even though Alana
gross.
Literally could have babysat him, but no, yeah, like that was like kind of a big thing that like I liked it. I thought it was really interesting because it was like the whole thing was very like dreamy and like, the soundtrack was very you know light and like you kind of felt like you were just in another world. But then you always like in the back of my head, I kept being like, she's 10 years older than him. That was like the one thing that kept hitting me.
Yeah,
I like once I was able to kind of like. Be like, oh, this is weird, but, like, let's just move on.
Just pretend
like,
that it's not that.
Yeah, so, in the musical that we're in, there's this quote that my character says, which is, I'm talking about musicals, and I'm saying that I really like this one musical because even though it has some flaws, it pulls you into another world, and that is, like, exactly what Licorice Pizza does. It's, like, it's not, like, a perfect movie or anything, but it's still, like, it managed to, like, convince me that I was, like, in the same setting that the characters were in. And it was, yeah, like Kira said, it was very, like, dreamy. And I really like Paul Thomas Anderson, so I was, like, I was the one who was I just kept saying, like, we have to watch Licorice Pizza, because it came out, like, right after...
On Christmas.
Yeah, it came out on Christmas, so, and I was in Disney World, so, like... Literally, the day after I got back, we went and watched it, because I, like, couldn't wait.
I had the best prank idea, but I was, like, too scared.
So mean.
I thought we should all post, like, reviews on Letterboxd at the same time for Licorice Pizza, so then he would see it and think we went without him, but I thought that would be too mean. But then he texted us and was like, we have to go see it, and I was like, oh, we already went. And then he was like, we would, but I don't know. Anyway. But also, like, I think...
He was definitely sad.
Not funny.
I thought it was kind of funny.
But I think like, a big thing about the movie, like, you know, it doesn't really, like, have a plot, but yet, like, you watch the characters from the beginning to the end, and, like, they're such different people, like, from the first scene to the last scene, but you feel like nothing has happened, but then, like, you look at how different it is, and everything has changed, and I feel like that's kind of, like, real life, which is why it's so believable, because, like, these things are happening, and you don't realize how impactful they are, but then, by the end, they're different people.
Yeah.
Honestly don't think everyone would enjoy this movie. Yeah. I think you really have to enjoy movies in the certain type of movie that Licorice Pizza is.
Indie genre.
Right. But if you do like those types of movies, I definitely recommend it.
Also, give it a try, because the second it starts, you can tell exactly how it's going to be.
The vibes.
Yeah, like the color grading, the music, you hear everything, and it's just, like, it all makes sense. Like, oh, this is what this movie is. So, I mean, give it a try. Like, whatever. It's pretty cool. It's a good one.
Yeah.
Another one that I'm kind of even scared to bring up is Uncut Gems.
Oh,
yeah!
Oh, no.
Yeah!
Here we go.
Yeah,
We just watched this last weekend.
We went to my house
this past Saturday, and we watched it. What a movie.
You don't expect...
So Daniel had seen it before us, and the way he described it was a two-hour panic attack. Yes. And that's the only thing I can say about it. Like,
Uncut Gems is one of the best movies I've ever watched. It is like, no other movie makes me feel like that. It is like, you are literally... I had watched it before, we all watched it like a week ago, but I was still like having a mini heart attack like the whole time, and... Like, not many movies can do that. Like, I don't think of... The only other movie that has done that for me is the Safdie... the directors are Josh and Benny Safdie. Funny. Benny Safdie was an actor in Licorice Pizza.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, so... He played the mayor.
Really?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. He's a really good actor. So, Josh... The Safdie brothers directed another movie called Good Time, which stars Robert Pattinson... And that is the only other movie that has made me feel like that. So they're like some of my favorite directors. But yeah, if you like being completely like having so much anxiety and like
everyone's like, oh me,
being like really terrified while watching a movie. Well,
it's
not a horror movie at all.
And be like, take this down.
Yeah, but,
it's like a thriller in a completely different direction than many, like,
it's just,
thriller
it's
movies.
It's so
like.
Good. Okay, wait, let me...
It's just
well,
so, like, I want to say relatable, but, like, nobody else is ever in this situation. No. But it's basically, no. like, so the main character, Howard,
like
basically needs everything to go right, like, or else his life is basically over. And it's all these, like, little things, like, he places a bet on this, like, basketball game, and he has such specific, like, requirements to win. But I feel like that's kind of, like, not to get, like, all English class, but I feel like that's kind of a metaphor for, like, his whole life, where everything needs to go right, or else everything's gonna fall apart. And actually, I read, like, in a review somewhere, like, someone said it kind of reminds them of, like, directing, where, like, you kind of, like, have a vision, and you need everything to kind of go right for it to come together, but, like, there's only so much you can do.
I can attest to this.
Cindy is the assistant director for our theater company.
For our
assistant
theater company.
To the director.
office joke.
Yeah, I definitely know what it's like to be in that situation where, you know, it's like you're doing a show and you really think it's going to go one way and then something happens and then it just totally does not turn out that way.
Like, I don't know, a girl like dislocates her knee on stage or something. That didn't happen. What?
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'm gonna keep talking about Uncut Gems.
So, okay.
One of the most like off-putting things about it is that the main character is Adam Sandler,
it's so much more different than any other movie.
Adam Sandler is famous for like really goofy comedies, and he usually plays the same kind of like oddball like. Funny Jew guy.
He's
also Jewish.
He's also Jewish in this movie.
Yeah, so part of the crew. But yeah, his role is just like very different than like everything else he's been in. And he gives like an amazing performance. And there's also a lot of other people that I like in here. One of them is Lakeith Stanfield, who is in the show I like called Atlanta, that is made by Donald Glover, and also The Weeknd is in it. For any of you EXO stans, you gotta watch Uncut Gems, because The Weeknd gets essentially like beat up by Adam Sandler.
If you want to see that,
yeah,
that
I mean
be
it's
it
yeah.
happens like 2 hours into
oh
the movie,
also but... Julia Fox is in it, who's dating Kanye right now. If you guys are listening to this and they like broke up, like I don't know what to say.
Rip. Yeah. I saw such a funny, like, Snapchat news article thing where it was, like, you know those, like, you know, the Snapchat Explore page, whatever. It was, like, Julia and Kanye yell at woman with stroller or something. It was, like, something like, so weird. It was, like, 2 days after we watched it. I was, like, what's
Snapchat has the worst, like, most annoying clickbait titles I've ever seen.
I know. And it's, like, Dixie and Charlie are dating?
Yeah. Okay. And the stuff on the Snapchat page is just, it's so outdated.
I've not gotten that one.
But yeah, I don't know. Like, that movie also, oh my god. No, when we watched it after, like, my day was not the same. There was one scene where, like, basically, just like, there's just there's a lot of high tension, and I was really close to leaving the room because I was getting so stressed out. Like,
honestly, yeah, my favorite part.
I'm a person with a lot of anxiety, and that was really not helping. Like, it was not.
My favorite part of watching the movie was just, like, taking, like, every, like, I don't know, like, 30 minutes, just, like, looking around and seeing my friends' faces, and they were just in, like, utter, like, panic. It was so funny.
Afterward, I, like, could not talk for a good 5 minutes. Just
yeah, everyone, like, took, like, it was, like, silent for, like, 5 minutes
until
after.
Daniel started playing the soundtrack.
Which made it
the soundtrack. The soundtrack's insane. Really good because it adds to, like, the anxiety, like, the stressfulness of the situation. Yeah. Like, there's, like, like, listen to it on Spotify.
I don't recommend.
Watch the movie first and then
if you've seen the movie, it's very good.
Imagine, like, playing the score while just, like, walking around.
Trying to feel like Howie.
Yeah, you're gonna, like, get... you'll feel like you're the main character.
Or if you're, like, in New York City and you're playing it.
That would be so
special. You're running down, like, yeah. Oh my god.
You're, like, you're late to the train and, like, you're playing the music.
No, I think I'll break down crying.
It takes place in New York City. It takes place in New York City in 2012. Mm-hmm. So, I have a fun fact. The Safdie brothers sent this movie to Adam Sandler. It came out in 2019. They sent it to him in, like, 2009, and then he, like, said no. So they sent it to him when they were, like, really young, and then, like, 10 years later, they made it. So that, like, they probably made it set... I don't know why they made it set in 2012. I like it because it kind of feels like, I don't know, it's just nice to see people with, like, iPhone 5s and...
Yeah, no, it was cool because, like... you realize, because I think a lot... Wait, with what?
Blackberries.
Oh my god, I think
also did, yeah.
No, they did not do that in that movie.
No, yeah, but I think it was
because,
like...
Just to clarify.
A lot of the things that, like, Adam Sandler is, like, a lot of his issues, a lot of Howie's issues are, like, communication and, like, trying to get things done. And it's just, like, being in 2012 when it was so much harder to, like, talk to someone in, like, half a second, you know, like, it made it a little bit more interesting, I think.
Howard Ratner.
And they're like, yo, The Weeknd, he's this new artist.
Yeah, because, no, it was, like, funny to see.
Yeah.
Because he did perform in the Super Bowl, like, I don't remember if it was last year or, like, 2 years ago.
Last year.
He was, like, huge.
Yeah,
The Weeknd blew up in, like, it was 2011, so he was, like, just becoming popular. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
To see.
Yeah.
Now on a little bit more of a happy note, but also like not really. I want like Little Miss Sunshine. Is another one I want to talk about. Which Christian?
That is not. I have not seen that yet.
It's not happier. It's not a happy. But it's less stressful. Actually, no, it's not. There's okay.
So
I was trying to come up with a good transition, but it's just so stressful.
It was like a rainy Saturday day. We did not know what to watch. We came over. Me and Daniel came over to Kira's house, and we were just scrolling through movies for like an hour, and we like stumbled upon this movie, and we honestly had like no idea. We stumbled upon this movie, and I honestly had like no expectations going into it, but it was, I could honestly say, one of my favorite movies I've ever seen.
Me too.
So good.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know, because it's such like a simple like thing. It's basically like, you know, this, you know, ideal family dynamic, but then you look into it and it's like, oh my god, this is how are they going to survive? Because everyone has their unique strengths and weaknesses that really just don't go together at all, but it kind of like, it makes, you know, a really fun dynamic to record, but it causes a lot of drama, especially, so basically the main plot is that they have to bring the daughter to the Little Miss Sunshine pageant, right?
Right, that's what it's called. Yeah.
But like, they're poor and like, they're driving this van, and they're also, like, basically babysitting their, like, uncle or cousin or something who's, like, suicidal. Like, it's just, like, a lot. And so the whole thing is them trying to get there and everything failing. Like, the dad is, you know, he has this thing that's going to bring him a lot of money, but then it's, like, not bringing him money. And there's also a grandpa that I'm not going to talk about. Everything that can go wrong goes wrong. And basically, by the end, you're still, like, happy. Like they leave the pageant and everything went wrong, but they're still, like, content, I feel like. I don't know. Let me know if you disagree. That's my take on it.
I think that this movie was so good because, like, the characters were so well thought out. So, similar to Uncut Gems, Steve Carell. Steve Carell is in Little Miss Sunshine. He plays the main couple. It's the girl's brother. So, like, the kid's uncle.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And he, like, literally right when the movie starts, he had, like, just tried to commit suicide. And he's, like, in the hospital because he, like, failed at it. And, like, I'm saying this to compare to Uncut Gems because it features someone who's, like, normally in a much more, like, goofy and comedic role who's, like, taking on this more dramatic role and does it, like, so well. And that really brought a lot to the movie. And also, Paul, I don't know how to say his last name, Dano. Yeah, so he plays Dwayne. Right.
Dwayne
was my favorite character in the movie.
You guys are not allowed to spoil anything with this movie. Like,
so, Dwayne doesn't talk because
he's taken an oath of silence,
and you just gotta, like, you just love him the moment. They could not have done it more perfectly. The moment when,
Things go wrong, as I mentioned earlier. Never mind. Stuff happens.
You gotta see it, okay?
I don't want to spoil anything because everything is just so perfectly done. But I do want to talk about something that is not a spoiler. Don't worry. Like, the colors.
The colors tell
their own story.
Oh, I gotta check out my review.
I think if I remember correctly, they use the three primary colors throughout the entire movie a lot. And each character kind of has their own color. And also, but throughout the whole movie, the like red, blue, and yellow are really just everywhere throughout the movie. And when things go wrong or when things go right, the colors get brighter. And then when things go wrong, the colors get darker. And so it's so, I didn't even notice it at first. And then when I did, I was like, wow.
With the title, they use a lot of yellow too.
Right.
And with the title and with the yellow and with the situation, it's all so ironic because you feel like it would be like, oh, Little Miss Sunshine, yellow, it's happy, it's great. But then they're dealing with all these, like, crazy things while they're, like, it was beautiful. Because they're driving, like, cross-country, so they were in these, like, beautiful, like, you know, valleys and stuff. And it's, like, the beautiful sunsets, but then there's a little chaos happening inside this yellow van. And it's so ironic, and it's really, really cool. And also, all the shots were so, like, claustrophobic. Like, the family was always, like, boxed in, like, in a van or in, like, a restaurant. And so it was always kind of showing how, like, tense it was and how kind of forced they were to be together and clash, which was interesting.
Yeah.
Also, one thing I would add is I really appreciate shows and movies that if they're, like, comedy slash drama, like, sometimes, like, movies, like, blend genres or TV shows do that. When they get the comedy genre blend, like, perfectly right, that's what this movie does. Like, it is, like, such a good combination of funny parts and, like, sad slash depressing parts. And I'd say it's like 60% comedy and 40% drama. And if you're into that type of, that's, like, my favorite genre of movie, basically. So I was, like, that was also why I was interested to see this, and I think it did a really good job with combining the two. So, yeah. And I gave it 5 stars on Letterboxd.
Everyone, go download Letterboxd and follow us if you can find
it. I gave Little Miss Sunshine 5 stars. I gave Uncut Gems 5 stars, obviously.
I gave Uncut Gems 5 stars.
Licorice Pizza is 4.5 for me.
I think I also gave Licorice
Pizza. Yeah, 4. That was, like, really similar. Yeah, that's what I did. And I put Little Miss Sunshine on my, like, you have, like, 4 favorites, and I put it in my favorites.
If I was gonna rank all the three we talked about, I would do 3 Licorice Pizza, 2 Little Miss Sunshine, and 1 Uncut Gems.
I put Little Miss Sunshine first. That was my favorite. Yeah. I don't know. Uncut Gems was really good, but I would not watch
Little
it
Miss Sunshine.
I don't
is
know
like,
how Daniel watched
it. Little Miss Sunshine is very, like, touching, and I really enjoy it. Like, it was definitely more relatable, but, like, Uncut Gems is just so well done that, like, I like it more.
I think I would do Uncut Gems, Licorice Pizza, Little Miss Sunshine.
Whoa.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think out of the two I've seen, I think I would put Uncut Gems just a little bit above Licorice Pizza.
Yeah.
Because, like, they are two, like, completely different
movies.
It's
hard to compare movies. Like,
it's very hard to compare these because they're all so good in, like, different ways. So like when I'd watch all of them and, like, form your own opinion.
Yeah, like, when I'm rating them, it's, like, hard. Because, like, I just watched a movie today that I rated 4 stars, but I was like, oh, I'd sooner watch this again than Uncut Gems. But, like, I thought Uncut Gems was better. But, like, you know, like, it depends, but whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are our movie recommendations, and you should all watch all of them. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on and joining my lovely podcast.
Thank you for having
us. Yeah, thanks for having us. This was so fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Thank you for approving. And to anyone listening at home who enjoyed this episode, make sure to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at acoam.podcast and on Twitter at acoam_podcast to keep up with us and hear about more awesome guests like these three. Fun fact, Christian calls it
acoam podcast.
Instead of acoam. So I guess it's at acoam. But, well, if you said that, no one knows how to spell it. So, yeah. And anyway, thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next week on a coming-of-age movie.